Parshas Bishalach, Jewish people are on the move. Been sent out of Mitzrayim, Vayi Bishalach Paro Es Ha'am. And as we know, it's one of the significant features of the way that they left Mitzrayim is that they did not take the direct route. As the Pasuk states, Vayi Bishalach Paro Es Ha'am, Hashem did not take them through the way of the Plishtim, ki karofu, and ki, if we translate simply, means because it was near, and that's a bad thing. Ki amar elokim, peninachem ha'am be'usam melchama, b'shavu mitzrayim, perhaps they will literally regret, but it seems that practically they will regret their decision to leave, they'll become upset. When they see Milchama, they'll want to go back to Mitzrayim. Which Milchama? Which war is expected to have this effect on them? Well, it is the Machlokas Rishonim. Different commentators have different understandings of what the war is that could potentially have them feeling this way. But the common understanding amongst many Rishonim, is that is the war that they are headed to in Eretz Canaan. As if to say that if they take the direct route from Mitzrayim to Canaan, they'll be confronted with war, and the direct route there, they'll just retrace their steps and want to go back to Mitzrayim. That is how the Rashbam, amongst others, explains, Ki korofu, Derech Yashar Likanes Miad Be'eretz Kanan. The way through the Plishtim is the direct route. Ule Kishayavo L'Torach Milchamos Eretz Kanan. And when they find and confront the difficulties of the war in Eretz Kanan, Yitnu Rosh V'Yashuvu L'Mitzrayim. They'll make a beeline back for Mitzrayim. It is to that end that HaKadosh Baruch Hu did not take them in the direct route, in order that it should not be so easy for them to take the direct route back. Now, we should note, and it's interesting just in terms of assessing what has been said, it sounds like there's a problem, and the problem has not been solved. It has been circumvented. As if to say, the root of the problem is the Jewish people may be afraid when they get to Canaan. And the answer is, so make it impossible for them to go back. It doesn't really treat the question as to whether or not they'll be afraid. It doesn't solve the problem. It just makes the wrong solution an impossibility. Namely, let's just go back to Mitzrayim. And therefore, we anticipate, arithmetically, that as a result of the circuitous route, were they afraid? Yes. Did they have any choice? No, because there was no direct route back. However, we will see that there are those who understand that actually in leading them in the way that HaKadosh Baruch Hu did, he was actually treating the root of the problem. When it comes to Kriyas Yamsuf, the way we describe it in Tehillim, Perikuf Lamedvav, it's in the Psukei Dezimra, the Kila Olam Chastos, we say, L'gozer Yamsuf L'gzarim, Kila Olam Chastos. Now, there is a famous medrash, everyone knows it, all the children's illustrations all incorporate it, which is testimony just to how true it must be, that when the Bnei Yisrael went into the Yamsuf, they went in divided by Shevet, L'Shivtehem. That's a Maimer Chazal in the medrash. It's based on this Pasuk in Tehillim. And the reason why is because literally the word gizarim means strips. So we're just getting used to the fact that we refer to Kriyas Yamsuf. The Yamsuf was torn. Right? Torn into how many pieces? We would have imagined two. But those are not strips. Because there were individual pathways for each of the Shvatim with water in between, the Yam Suf was not merely torn into two pieces, it was actually torn into numerous strips, Legozer Yam Suf Ligzarim. This is a well-known medrash, and what's fascinating is one can go many years aware of this medrash without ever asking, to borrow the term from Yitzias Mitzrayim, She'elas Tam, a simple question. Why? Why was it appropriate? Why was it necessary? Why was it significant that when they went through the Yam Suf, they went through according to Shevet? Did they leave Mitzrayim according to Shevet? Not that we know of. What is the meaning of them being formatted, so to speak, Lishivtehem, and not just en masse? And that's a good shaila. And this question is raised by Rav Shlomo Fischer Shlita, the great Rav Shlomo Fischer here of Yerushalayim. And he gives us an entirely new insight to Kriyas Yam Suf. The truth of the matter is, it's staring us in the face, but sometimes it takes a great man to make sure that we're looking. What was achieved at Kriyas Yam Suf? What happened at Kriyas Yam Suf? Well, more than one thing, of course. The immediate answers are, it is the final chapter in the Bnei Yisrael's exodus from Mitzrayim. Yes, it is, right? It is the end of the din of Mitzrayim. This was their final judgment. So many chapters are closed in Kriyas Yam Suf. It really is has that aspect of finality to it. Yes, from a certain point of view, the Geula happened to Kriyas Yam Suf. That's why we say Shira Chadosha Shibchu Geulim. Rabbi Nebuchadnezzar says that of the Arba Lashonos of Geula, Votzesi V'Yitzalti. So those first two take place in Mitzrayim. Votzesi Eschem Mitachas Siblos Mitzrayim, V'Yitzalti Eschem Mi'Avodosom. But V'Goalti Eschem is Kriyas Yam Suf. Shira Chadosha Shibchu Geulim. And then V'Lakati Eschem Lila Am. So it is certainly a very enormously significant milestone in terms of Yitzias Mitzrayim itself. But something else happened. There were reverberations from Kriyas Yam Suf, well beyond the Bnei Yisrael who went through the Yam Suf. How do we see that? Where do we see voice lent to this idea? Well, in Sefer Yehoshua, when Yeshua sends the two Meraglim, known to us as Kolev and Pinchas, so they go to Rachav's house. And she tells them, and she appraises them, of what people are expecting in Eretz Canaan. And this is in Yeshua Perek Beis, Pasuk Tes, and she says, Vatomer el ha'anoshim, Yodati, ki nasan Hashem lachem es ha'aretz. I know, the land, God has given the land to you. V'chinofla imaschem aleinu. Everyone is afraid of you. Your fear has fallen on us. V'chinomogu kol yoshvei aretz mipneichem. People have melted in front of you. Really? What happened? Pasuk Yud. Ki shomanu eis asher hovish Hashem es mei yam suf mipneichem. B'tzeisa mimitzrayim. We heard about what happened in Kriyas Yam Suf. Things just haven't been the same. This is 40 years later. No one has recovered from that. It goes on to say, Vasher Asisem Lishnei Malchei Ha'Emori, much closer to home, to Sichon and to Og. But it's very interesting that of the two things that are mentioned, number one is an episode 40 years back, Kriyas Yam Suf. Asher Hovish Hashem Esmei Yam Suf Mipneichem Bitzeischem Mimitzrayim. Not the Eser Makos, interestingly, Kriyas Yam Suf. This may bear out for us, perhaps, another well-known medrash of Chazal, that Kriyas Yam Suf actually was experienced globally. Eser Makos, they heard about from Mitzrayim. Kriyas Yam Suf, they saw. And Rashi even quotes it in his Perush on the Chumash, Al Derech HaPshat, that when the waters of the Yam Suf split, all the waters in the world split, and therefore people had living evidence of what had happened when they heard about Kriyas Yam Suf and they thought back to their kitchen, This was nothing like anyone had ever seen or heard of before. And it's embedded in the Lashon of the Pasuk because the Torah speaks about Kriyas Yamsuv, Vayasem Esayam Lecharava, the seabed was dry, and then Vayibaku Hamayim, and then the water split. How could the seabed have dried before the water split? It's the other way around. The Vayibaku Hamayim, and then Vayasem Esayam Lecharava. That's why Rashi says, no, first in the Yamsuv Vayasem Esayam Lecharava, and then Vayibaku Hamayim, everywhere. And we can certainly appreciate, based on that, that Kriyas Yamsuv made an impact, and people were afraid. Moreover, not only does Rachav say it, but Bnei Yisrael said it in their own way in Shiras Hayam, because at a certain point, there's two or three psukim discussing the effect of Kriyas Yamsuv on everyone. Shomu Amim Yirgozun. People heard. They were afraid. Chiloch hazishvei pelashes, namogu kol yishvei chanan, etc. and so forth. And therefore, the significance and the impact of Yetzias Mitzrayim was very widespread in the region. And moreover, not only were other people afraid of Bnei Yisrael as a result of Kriyas Yamsuv, but Bnei Yisrael themselves had a different self-image having left the Yamsuf. Their Egyptian overseers, who until then were a frightening memory for them, they saw them dead on the banks of the Yamsuf. I mean, this was a catharsis for Bnei Yisrael that allowed them to emerge in an entirely different light. It turns out, therefore, says Rav Fisher, that one could say that amongst all the other things that Kriyas Yamsuf was, it was also the first step in the conquest of Eretz Yisrael. This was the first move against the indigenous population of Yisrael. There has been no military conflict yet, but as we know, morale is everything. Kriyas Yamsuf and the effect that it had on the people of Canaan, in a sense, was the first attack on that land. Psychological warfare, min ha-Torah. That's Kriyas Yamsuf, before a shot was fired. And therefore, says Rav Fisher, we can understand, if we follow the delicate nature of the discussion, that when the Pasuk says at the beginning of Parshas Bishalach that Hashem did not take the Bnei Yisrael straight through Derech Eretz Plishtim, because then when they saw war, they would be afraid, but rather he led them on a different route through the Yamsuf. And we understood, perhaps, that what it means to say is, listen, they're going to be afraid, so at least don't give them an exit. But says Rav Fisher, no. Leading through the Yamsuf wasn't circumventing the problem, wasn't evading the issue, it was dealing with the issue. Because if they go straight through Eretz Plishtim, they'll stay afraid. But if they go through the Yamsuf, they will become unafraid, and they will be ready. This has to give us an entirely new appreciation of really of what the Meraglim did. It's a terrible irony, because the Meraglim who melted the hearts of the Jewish people about going into Eretz Canaan, they had no idea that the people of Eretz Canaan felt the same way about them. One of the key differences between the first Shiluach of the Meraglim, the first 12, and the subsequent two in the times of Yeshua, is that the first 12 never spoke to anyone. They went around, they saw what they saw, they drew their conclusions, they never spoke to anyone. They tried to keep out of everyone's way. And the irony is, had they just stopped someone and asked them, have you heard about the Jewish people, they would have heard. Vanishma vayimas levaveinu. And maybe they would have been more confident. Kolev and Pinchas, who actually spoke to someone, they spoke to Rachav. Rachav knew. And she told them what was true 40 years ago to a higher degree was still true. And, says Rav Fisher, and his sweep of the Tanakh here to pay attention to these sorts of details. Tehillim Kuf Hei and Kuf Vav, long prokim. And they detail the history really of Bnei Yisrael pretty much from the beginning until their entry into Eretz Canaan. and they are divided in a most unusual way. Tehillim Kuf Hei, number one, has Eser Makos. That's it. Kuf Hei. It's the Shir Shel Yom for Pesach, for one of the days. Eser Makos. Kuf Vav, the next perek, has Kriyas Yamsuf and the entry into Eretz Canaan. That's an amazing chalukka, says R. Fisher. With the intuitive point of division, not have been to divide them according to subject, as if to say, the first chapter, let that deal with all matters pertaining to Yetzias Mitzrayim, namely Eser Makos and Kriyas Yamsuf. That's Kuf Hei. Kuf Vav then is about moving into Eretz Canaan. Why is it that Kriyas Yamsuf is actually located together with the second Perek and not the first? This bears out the understanding, says R. Fisher, that actually Kriyas Yamsuf was the first step in entering Eretz Canaan. And so its rightful place is in the second perek, Kuf Vav, not in Kuf Hei. One could read Sefer Tehillim many times and not make that observation. Says R. Fisher, as we know, the concept of dividing Bnei Yisrael into their Shvatim, Bederech Klal, pertains to the destiny of the Jewish people in Eretz Yisrael. That's where their Nachla is, according to the Shevet. They're counted the Shevet as a prelude to enter Eretz Canaan. And thus we can understand why it was that when they entered the Yamsuf, when they went through the Yamsuf, they went through Leshivtehem. Because the going through the Yamsuf was the first act of entry into Eretz Canaan. And therefore it was appropriate that they should be formatted in the way that they would ultimately enter Lefi Shevet. Hafle vafele. Very, very interestingly, one may say, perhaps, that this will give us a further insight into the pasuk in Tehillim, Halel, that we say, Hayam ra'a vayanos, Hayarden yisov la'achor. And those two episodes, they're put together. Now, why are they put together? Well, of course, I mean, they're thematically related because they're both, you know, partings of the waters. Quite true. But based on this understanding, Hayam ra'a vayanos, in a sense, fed right into Hayarden Yisov La'achor, because the beginning of the parting of the waters of the Yarden, which was the ultimate entry into Eretz Canaan, started when the waters of the Yamsuf split. So these are most thought-provoking comments, different view entirely, the beginning of Parshas Bishalach. And from there, I'd like to talk about Kriyas Yamsuf, of course, dominates the Parsha. And we will see there are a number of major questions here. What happens in Kriyas Yamsuf? How would we describe the sequence? Well, as simply as we can, the sea split open. Into how many parts? Split open. Bnei Yisrael went through and emerged successfully on the other side, wherever that was. Mitzrayim also went through. Were not so successful in emerging on the other side. And that's Kriyas Yamsuf. Now, in Pasuk Kaf Vav of Perek Yud Dalet, Vayomer Hashem Moshe, the time has come. Of course, I wouldn't say cut to the chase because we're after that, but we're in the middle of Kriyas Yamsuf, and Hashem says to Moshe, Neteyes yodcha ala yam, v'yashuvu hamayim. Let the water come back, al Mitzrayim, al Rechbo, v'al Parashav. The time has come for the water to come back on the Mitzrayim. When? Well, says Rashbam and others, obviously the Jewish people have exited the other side. The only people left in Yamsuf are the Mitzrayim, and that's when the waters come back. On this point, the Ibn Ezra takes issue. And he maintains that it is true. The waters did not come back until the last of the Mitzrayim was in the Yamsuf. But they didn't wait to come back until the last of the Jewish people had exited the Yam Suf. Rather, the Jewish people entered first. They were pursued by the Mitzrim. As soon as the last of the Mitzrim was in the Yam Suf, deep enough to be covered by the water came back. Even as there were still of the Bnei Yisrael inside. And what that means, of course, is that when the split, it split all at once. But when it came back, it did not come back all at the same time. Rather, the tail end, the back of the Yam Suf, the part further behind, came back over the Mitzrim, and the part that there were yet Bnei Yisrael in stayed open. And says the Ibn Ezra, "Vezeh neis betoch neis," as if to say, we're used to the vector being one-directional. It's either splitting or it's closing. But actually, at a certain point, both was happening. Part of it was closing the back part, while the front part remained open for Bnei Yisrael. Says Ibn Ezra, that's quite a thing, I'm saying. You may wonder why I say that. The reason why I say that, says Ibn Ezra, is because the Pasuk says it. Where? Well, let's have a look at Pasuk Kaftes. Uvnei Yisrael halchu bayabasha besochayam. Okay, so they're going. V'amayim lem choma miminam umismolam. Now, everyone knows this pasuk. What is so significant about it? Says Ibn Ezra, number one, it's already been said, more or less. Because if you go back to Pasuk Kaf Beis, you will see Perek Yudalet Pasuk Kaf Beis, Vayavou Bnei Yisrael Baso Chayam Bayavasha, Vamayim Lem Choma Mimi Nama Mismalam. It's a repeat. Everyone knows the repeat. Some people get up by accident on the first time round. It's the same pasuk, almost. But why is it repeated? Says Ibn Ezra, look what's happened in between. The waters have come back. In between Pasuk Kaf Beis and Pasuk Kaf Tes, the Mitzrim have entered. They've gotten stuck there. Pasuk Kaf Zayin, Vayet Moshe Ashadar LaYam, Vayashav HaYam LeFlos Boker LeEisona. The sun came back, the sea came back. Pasuk Kafkes, Vayashuvu Hamayim, Vayichasu Aserechem. And then Pasuk Kaftes reiterates, Uvnei Yisrael, Halchu Bayabasha Besochayam. Meaning, even after the water came back, the Jewish people were yet walking in the Yam Suf. Interestingly, as much as these psukim are very similar to each other, there is a difference between them. There are actually two differences between them. But the first is the order of the terms Tochayam and Yabasha. In Pasuk Kaf Beis, it says, where are we? Pasuk Kaf Beis, Vayavo ben Yisrael, but Tochayam b'Yabasha. In Pasuk Kaf Tes, it says, Uvnei Yisrael halchu b'Yabasha b'Sochayam. Now, they are the same thing. They sound like the same thing. But they're not written the same. What is the difference between them? The Vilna Gaon has already pointed out, and it fits in very beautifully with what the Ibn Ezra is saying, that the difference between them is Pasuk Kaf Beis is as the Bnei Yisrael are entering the Yam Suf, of course, right? Vayavo Bnei Yisrael, and therefore, first it mentions Besochayam because the front of the Bnei Yisrael was headed towards Tochayam. The back, the tail end of Bnei Yisrael, were still on the Yabasha at that stage. Yabasha, according to the Gaon, means the seashore, not the seabed. The seabed is called Charava, not Yabasha. Vayasem esayam l'charava. Those are two separate things. So therefore, the earlier Pasuk has Bnei Yisrael, the front part of which is in the sea already, meaning where the sea was, and the back part is yet still on dry land, real dry land. The second part is reversed because they're already on the way out, so the front part is already headed towards the Yabasha, and the back part is Besochayam. That's why those words are reversed. They're at a different place within the Yam Suf. And there is another point. The Medrash has pointed out, and I think this would also complement what the Ibn Ezra is saying, there is another difference between the two psukim. In the first pasuk, Kaf Beis again, it says, "Vayavo bnei Yisrael b'sochem bevasha, v'amayim lehem choma mimino mimismolam." The word choma is written mole. Chet vav mem he. In pasuk Kaf Tes, "Uvnei Yisrael ochu beyabasha b'sochem v'amayim lehem choma." Still choma, but it's written choser, without a vav. The question is, why in the first time is it written mole with a vav, and the second time choser without a vav? So, we may suggest, according to the Ibn Ezra, the reason is because when the Bnei Yisrael first went into the Yamsuf, the choma was mole. The entire wall was there. The sea was split along its entirety. By the time the pasuk says the second time round, and some of it is closed in already, the choma is choser, and therefore it's written choser. Now, this is how the Ibn Ezra explains why this idea is mentioned twice, that Bnei Yisrael b'sochem b'abasha, but the truth of the matter is, it's mentioned a third time. Where? In Perek Tes Vav, Pasuk Yutes. Kivasus paro berichba ufafarasha vayam, vayashev Hashem aleim esme hayam, uvnei Yisrael halchu bayabasha besoch hayam. Nochomo. What is this? What am I being told here that I don't already know? I've had it twice already. Says the Ibn Ezra. This confluence of events, this simultaneous holding open the sea for Bnei Yisrael while closing it in on the Mitzrim, which as he describes it as Nes Betoch Nes, is such an important part of the miracle that it actually became the climatic point of the Shira. Perek Tes Vav of Shemos begins with the Shira, Adir Shem Moshe Bnei Yisrael. The Shira continues until, says Ibn Ezra, up to and including Pasuk Yutes. Everything in Perek Yudalet is the description of events. Perek Tes Vav is the Shira over those events. And something that the Pasuk in real time mentioned twice, the Bnei Yisrael mention in their Shira. Because what an amazing thing it is. With everything else that was going on, Kivos was Paro, this is the Bnei Yisrael singing. Berich Bo Vavarsha Bayom, Vayashiv Hashem Aleim Esmei Hayom, and at the same time, Bnei Yisrael Halchu Bayabasha Besoch Hayom. And that's the Ibn Ezra. So, the truth is that the Ibn Ezra has brought us to the threshold of a fundamental question. Namely, when does the Shura end? Let us assume we have a pretty good idea where it starts. Somewhere around Az Yashir. Even that's not so simple, but we'll leave that for just for the moment. But to when does it continue? Well, Ibn Ezra is already on record as saying it goes to up to and including Pasuk Yutes, Kiva Sus Paro. The final words of the Shira are Bnei Yisrael Halchu Bayabasha Besoch Hayam. However, the position of the Ibn Ezra is disputed by the Ramban. The Ramban maintains that this final Pasuk Yutes is not part of the Shira, and his reasoning is compelling, and it's about 6 words long. Says Ramban, "Ve'einenu beloshon hashira b'hanavius." I do not agree, says Ramban, that Pasuk Yutes is part of the Shira, and the reason why is because It doesn't sound like the Shira. It doesn't sound like it's part of that Shira-type phraseology. It sounds like the rest of the Torah. Or to put it rather more practically, you can actually understand what it's saying without anyone helping you. That's what it means. The pasuk reads like all the other psukim. When Parah came in, that's exactly what the Ramban means. Einu loshen shira v'nevius. It's not to the emo v'sita emo ba'nachalasacha, where Unculus swells to the size of Rashi, and then Rashi swells even greater. And it's very easy. Rashi has two words of comment on the whole pasuk. Kiva, says Rashi, kasherba. That's it. What Rashi means with those two words is another question. But this is not a need of the intensive treatment that which Rashi has given the rest of the Shira. It doesn't look like the Shira, doesn't sound like the Shira, it's not part of the Shira. That's a very interesting kasha. Now, the question is, well, so according to you, Ramban, who says that Pasuk Yotes is not part of the Shira, well then what is it? What is it doing? What is it telling us? And here, says Ramban, a great chiddush. Pasuk Yud Tes of Perek Tes Vav is telling us, it's not part of the Shira, but it's telling us when the Shira was sung. That's an interesting shaila. And the reason why it's an interesting shaila is because the Torah's introduction as to when the Shira was sung is with the words Az Yashir. The word Az means then, which is great. All you need to do is to work out when was then. And then you'll know when the Shira was sung. Because so far, in terms of a linear message from the Torah, if should you ask the question, when was the Shira sung, the answer is then. But when is then? Now, we may have understood, perhaps if we read the psukim one after the other, that it's meant to follow on from the end of Perek Yudalad. As Perek Yudalad concludes, as we know the psukim very well, Vayosh Hashem Vayomahu Es Yisrael Miad Mitzrayim, Vayar Yesh Yisrael Es Yisrael Mesos Vasayam, they saw them dead there, Vayar Yisrael Es Yad Gadol Asher Asa Hashem B'Mitzrayim, etc., etc., and then, Oz Yashir, then, meaning straight after those events. That would seem to be the simple understanding. But the Ramban says, no. The Bnei Yisrael, if you want to know when did they sing Shira, the answer is in Pasuk Yotes of Perek Tes Vav, Ki Basus Paro, when Paro's horses and chariots were in the Yamsuf and the water was over them and the Bnei Yisrael was going through, that's when they sang Shira. That means that the word Ki is translated very differently for the Ramban than it is for others. For Ibn Ezra, for example, Ki means for, meaning it's the prelude to a description. For Para came in and the water. For the Ramban, Ki does not mean for. Ki means when. Ki Savo El Aretz. You want to know when is then? It's when Paro was in the Yamsuf and the water came back and the Bnei Yisrael were going through. Which means in terms of the understanding of events, Ramban concurs with the Ibn Ezra that the water was coming back over the Mitzvah while Bnei Yisrael were in the Yamsuf. On a certain key point, if you pardon the expression, he differs with the Ibn Ezra. Namely, he does not consider Pasuk Yotes to be part of the Shira, but in his way, Ramban has given us a greater chiddush. Namely, the Pasuk is telling you when they said the Shira, Bnei Yisrael were saying the Shira while they were still in the Yamsuf. The water had come back, and they're going through, and they're saying Shira. Ki at that very time. Which is a great chiddush. Because there are a number of Mefarshim that we have seen in other occasions who understand that not only were the Bnei Yisrael not saying Shira while they were going through the Yamsuf over the downfall of the Mitzrim, they actually had no idea they were being followed. One of the greatest mysteries of Parshas B'Shalach is what possessed the Egyptians to go into the Yam Suf after Bnei Yisrael. As if to say, with all due respect to self-esteem and the like, after everything they've seen in the last year, when the sea splits and the Bnei Yisrael go in, it's probably for them. It's probably not for you. And not to get that message at that stage, and the Mitzrayim take that as their cue to pursue them, something's missing. Now, there are many factors that we don't have. For the Bnei Yisrael, after all the confluence of the Amud Esh and Amud Anan, means that the Bnei Yisrael could see. The Mitzrayim couldn't see. The Arba Bar Benel, aside from other factors, explains that they actually didn't know that they were going into the Yam Suf, because no one would. As long as you don't feel there's water there, you have no idea that you're actually in the middle of the sea. Until they became aware of it. That was too late. They didn't wittingly follow Bnei Yisrael into the Yam Suf. That's our Derech HaPashtus. But all of this we know because the Torah is telling it to us. The Bnei Yisrael have a buffer zone of Amud Esh behind them and Amud Anan behind that. And as far as they're concerned, no one in their right mind would follow us in. They even worried that the Mitzrayim were just waiting on the other side of the Yam Suf and would catch up with us. They've been at a different time. According to the Malbim and others, the big chiddush of seeing the Mitzrayim washed up on the Yam Suf wasn't that they'd been killed, it's that they'd actually been possessed enough to follow us into the Yam Suf. And all of that, very much not like the Ramban, who understands that even as Bnei Yisrael are walking through the Yam Suf, the Pasuk is telling us that they are saying Shira. So we have quite a discussion here. And it has implications both for Parshanut on many levels, and as well as the essential question. How long is the Shira? How many psukim is the Shira? Is it 18 psukim or is it 19 psukim? For the Ibn Ezra, it goes up to and including Pasuk Yutes. For the Ramban, Pasuk Yutes is not part of the Shira. We should know, in terms of sources in Chazal, there's only one place, at least as far as I'm aware, that addresses this question directly, and that's the Psikta. The Psikta Zutrasi in Parshas Bishalach, which says explicitly that there are 18 psukim in the Shira, and goes on to say that corresponding to those 18 psukim in the Shira are the 18 brachas of Shmona Esrei. Originally, there are 18. And that is support for Ramban. But should we ask the question, does it make a difference how big the Shira is? We're happy to continue reading until further notice. I mean, does it make a difference? The answer is yes, it does make a difference in more than one way. In one in the area of halacha, and one certainly in the area of hanhaga, shall we say. The reason why it could impact on the halacha is because the Gemara tells us in Maseches Megillah that when you have an area of the Torah called Shira, there is a specific way that Shira needs to be written in the Sefer Torah. What is referred to in the Gemara as Ariach Agabe Levena, the whole bricks on the half bricks. If you've ever seen the way the Shira is written in the Sefer Torah, and some Sidurim even write it that way, it's the half lines and the whole lines and the spaces in between, and that is how it has to be written. And moreover, the Shulchan Aruch says if it would be written, we should not think this is a Hidur. If it would be written normally, the Sefer Torah is posel. So it's very much of the essence. And now the question will be, now we need to know, till when does the Shira continue? Because you need to know, till when do you need to continue writing in that fashion? It's a very serious question. The Rambam in Hilchos Sefer Torah, who is looked upon as the primary halachic authority in Hilchos Sefer Torah, describes this special way of writing up to and including Pasuk Yutes. And in fact, the Sifrei Torah that we have in our exposure all have the Shira up to and including Pasuk Yutes. Even Kivas Uspara, Berich Rashab is also written in that special way. Ariach Agabe Levena. That's the opinion of the Rambam. It is noted that there were Sifrei Torah in circulation who did not have Pasuk Yutes written that way. In other words, the Machlokas became a Halachic Machlokas. However, certainly by this stage, and the Ikul Halacha is understood as being like the Rambam. That's in terms of Halacha. That's Hilchos Sefer Torah. There is another question, and that is, it begins with Abu Dharam. Rabbi David Abu Dharam, who is one of the great sources of our minhagim in tefillah, he says that, as we know, when you finish something, and you can complete a certain section, very often we repeat the final pasuk. For example, Psukei Dezimra, Kol HaNeshama Tehallel Ka, Hallelu Ka, is said twice because it's the end of Tehillim. And we know in a number of the Megillahs, we also finish, repeat either the final pasuk or the penultimate pasuk. Sometimes the repetition signifies that closure, that finality. And because that is the case, says the Abu Dharam, when you get to the end of Shiras Hayam and you get to the pasuk Hashem Yimloch Le'olam Voed, should repeat it, because that's the end of the Shira, which we do. Now, based on our background, we understand that the Abu Dharam has taken a side in a discussion, in a dispute, because by saying to repeat Hashem Yimloch Le'olam Voed, he has identified that as the final pasuk of the Shira, and in so doing has sided with the Ramban, not like the Ibn Ezra. Now, what's interesting is, for us, because all our Sifrei Torah are like the Ibn Ezra, that is to say, Pasuk Yotes is also like the Shira, but we all repeat the Pasuk Hashem Yimloch Le'olam Voed, based on the Abu Dharam, which sees that as the end of the Shira. Just to make things a little more complicated, we repeat the Pasuk Hashem Yimloch Le'olam Voed, because it's the end, and then we say the Pasuk of Kiva. Kiva Sus Paro, we say it afterwards. And the Magen Avraham is the source for that practice. The Magen Avraham says, Tov Lomar, it is good to say Kiva Sus Paro Berichbo, Pasuk Yotes, known to us. And the Machtes HaShekel explains, because this is really in keeping with the halacha as we have it, that the shira continues until Pasuk Yotes, and therefore you don't want to stop the shira one pasuk before the end. But he goes on to say, and this will sound on the one hand strange to us because no one does it, but perfectly reasonable because that's what sounds what should happen, says the Machtes HaShekel, if a person is in the practice, as the Magen Avraham has just told us from earlier sources, to also say Pasuk Yotes, Kiva Suspara Berichva Varashav, etc., so he should not repeat the Pasuk of Hashem Yimloch Le'olam Voed, because that's not the end of the Shira. Rather, he should repeat the Pasuk of Kiva Suspara, because that's the end of the Shira, according to this. At the same time, we should know, the opinion of the Vilna Gaon is that one should not say the Pasuk of Kiva Suspara, because you've just repeated Hashem Yimloch Le'olam Voed, and that's the end of the Shira. So, both sides we understand, whichever is the final Pasuk, that's where you stop, and that's where you repeat, no more and no less. But we do both. We repeat it, Hashem Yimloch Le'olam Voed, and then we proceed. Now, we have no inyan in finishing Parshas B'Shalach during Pesukei Dezimra. We only are saying that which is part of the Shira. So what is it, what is to make of this double-sided practice that we have? Now,
double-sided meaning we repeat the puzzle.
And then continue. Correct?
Mm-hmm.
However, a further element, a different presentation of what happens here, because if we take full stock of what's in the Siddur, so we repeat Hashem Yimloch Le'olam Voed twice, we go on to say Kiva Sus Paro, and we say something in the middle, namely the Targum of the Pasuk Hashem Yimloch Le'olam Voed Hashem Malchusei Ko'em Le'olam Le'ol Me'ol Maya. And where did that come from? No one spoke about that. Says the Arizal, Mishnah Berurah quotes the Arizal, the reason why we say that pasuk and the targum is because this pasuk should be read in the way of shnayim mikra ve'echad targum. There is a practice of reading through the parsha every week, shnayim mikra ve'echad targum, and according to the Arizal, the end of the shira is read in that way. The final pasuk shnayim mikra ve'echad targum. Well, I say the final pasuk, that pasuk of Hashem Yimloch Le'olam Voed, which is very interesting, because this opens for us a new way of understanding why we repeat it. We do not perhaps repeat Hashem Yimloch Le'olam Voed because it signifies the end of the Shira, given that it doesn't for us because we go on to say the Pasuk afterwards, but rather we repeat it as part of the way of reading it, Shnai Mikra, the Echad Targum. The question is, and of course here we're already on our own, why are we reading the Pasuk of Hashem Yimlech Lo Lavoi, Shnai Mikra, Echad Targum? We don't read anything before it or after it in that way. And all of a sudden, it's very helpful for us because it gives a new insight into the repetition, not because of finality, but a different enterprise entirely. But still, how did Shnai Mikra Recha Targum make its way into the end of Kriyas Yamsuf? We know that there is a mitzvah to remember Yetzias Mitzrayim every day. Leman Tizko Esyom Tzeischo Me'eretz Mitzrayim Kol Yimei Chayecha. What does one need to remember? Well, the Pasuk doesn't specify much. Yetzias Mitzrayim, and that seems sufficient. The Yerushalmi, however, in Maseches Brachos tells us that one should also mention Kriyas Yamsuf, which we do, by the way, because in the Bracha after Shema, both in the morning and in the evening, it really culminates with Kriyas Yamsuf, in both of them. Mikamocha Be'elim Hashem, etc., etc. There's Kriyas Yamsuf features in both of them. And that's really the correct way to fulfill the mitzvah. Also, to incorporate Kriyas Yamsuf. Why? Of course, it was part of the process, but why is it key, shall we say, in terms of this mitzvah? The Rambam, we should note, generated a good deal of discussion because the Gemara tells us that mentioning Yetzias Mitzrayim in the day and in the night is de'oraisa. It is a mitzvah from the Torah. There are 613 mitzvahs in the Torah. The Rambam has a Sefer HaMitzvahs where he tells us each and every one. And the Rambam did not codify the mitzvah of mentioning Yetzias Mitzrayim in the day and in the night as a mitzvah in Tireg Mitzvahs. And the question is, why not? The Gemara says it's de'oraisa, and it's clear that it's meant to be fully de'oraisa. Why would it not be a mitzvah in Taryag? It should naturally find its place in Taryag mitzvahs. There are many responses to explain the position of the Rambam, but a fascinating approach, which is to be found in two almost contemporaries from rather different parts of Europe, but Reb Chaim Soloveitchik, the great Reb Chaim Alevi, as quoted by his grandson Reb Yosher Ber, Erosadov, and the Beis Yitzchak. The Beis Yitzchak was one of the great poskim in Poland in the 1800s. Reb Yitzchak Shmelkus was his name, lived in Lvov. When Reb Meir Shapira wanted to get a smicha that would make an impression, he went to the Beis Yitzchak to get smicha. That, for our purposes, that says enough. And they both say the same thing, that Shuvas Beis Yitzchak or Reb Chaim Siman Yud Beis, and Reb Chaim Soloveitchik, as quoted by his grandson, Reb Yosef Dov, say a chiddush. Remembering Yetzias Mitzrayim every day is a mitzvah. But it's not part of Taryag. It's not one of Taryag. How can it be not one of Taryag? If it's Doraisa, it should be a mitzvah of Taryag. The answer is because remembering Yetzias Mitzrayim is not a mitzvah in its own right, because it's actually a branch of another mitzvah. Mitzvahs come in families. Not every detail of every mitzvah is its own taryag. There would be thousands of mitzvahs if that was the case. Remembering Yetzias Mitzrayim by day and by night, says Reb Chaim, according to the Rambam, is a branch of the mitzvah of Kriyat Shema, which is a mitzvah of taryag. What is Kriyat Shema all about? How does the Gemara define the essence of Kriyat Shema? Shema Yisrael, Hashem Elokeinu, Hashem Echad, is called Kabbalas Ol Malchus Shamayim. It's about affirming HaKadosh Baruch Hu's kingship over us. Yetzias Mitzrayim, the day that we are to remember, is referred to at the end of Shema, Ani Hashem Elokeichem, Asher Yetzias Eschem Eretz Mitzrayim, Lihiyos Lachem Lelokim. Remembering Yetzias Mitzrayim is to remember what Yetzias Mitzrayim is all about, Lios Lachem Lelokim, and therefore that remembrance is actually a branch, a tributary of the mitzvah of Kriyat Shema. And we should know, we're not going to get into too much into the details, but just to see how this impacts, perhaps, on the halacha. The Gemara tells us in Maseches Brachos and Daf Yud Gimel Amud Beis that Reb Yudah Anossi, because he used to teach Torah in public, he used to give a shiur that would go for a number of hours, sometimes even past the time of Kriyat Shema. So he would say an abridged form of Kriyat Shema. And when it came to what about the remembering Yetzias Mitzrayim? So the Gemara says he would find a way in each shiur to steer the shiur for a moment towards the matters of Yetzias Mitzrayim, in order to be out to the midst of Yetzias Mitzrayim without interrupting the shiur. And the Gemara says he did that in order to fulfill the mitzvah of remembering Yetzias Mitzrayim, bizmano, in its time. Says Rashi, bizmano means bizman kriyat shema. We know that, as generally speaking, mitzvahs that apply during the day, you have the whole day in principle. Kriyat Shema, of course, is very different. You only have until 3 hours, however you configure them, but you only have until 3 hours. Rabbi Yudah Anossi would give a shiur past this time of Kriyat Shema. He wouldn't give shiur the whole day. But he wanted to remember Yetzias Mitzrayim in the time of Kriyat Shema, says Rabbi Chaim Soloveitchik. What does that tell you? That tells you that because this mitzvah is a branch of the mitzvah of Kriyat Shema, its timing will be governed by the timing of Kriyat Shema, not by the general timing of a mitzvah, of a daytime mitzvah. Ad kedei kach. Now, Kriyas Yamsuf, how does that feature with all of this? Says Rav Soloveitchik, there's something about Kriyas Yamsuf that brought about a certain relationship, awareness on the part of the Bnei Yisrael that the Makkos hadn't done. Namely, as we say in Ma'ariv, at the time of Kriyas Yamsuf, Umalchuso v'ratzon kiblu alehem. That's very interesting, because there's something about Kriyas Yamsuf that had not happened yet in the Eser Makos. It needs to be defined, whatever it is. But the Bnei Yisrael have seen the Eser Makos. We haven't yet heard that expression, Malchuso v'ratzon kiblu alehem. When the Kriyas Yamsuf happened, Malchuso v'ratzon kiblu alehem. And the truth is, it's explicit in the Shira, which culminates with Hashem Yimloch Le'olam Vo'ed. Whether it's the final pasuk or not the final pasuk, it caps the Shira. That's what it's all about. Something about, and perhaps it is the confluence, really, of the fact that the Hatzalah of the Jewish people, miraculously, and the retribution of the Mitzrayim was all happening at the same time. This completely brought the Jewish people to a higher awareness of HaKadosh Baruch Hu's control over the world, and the result was Hashem Yimloch Le'olam Vo'ed, says Rav Soloveitchik. So now you understand why the Yerushalmi says that no mitzvah of remembering Yetzias Mitzrayim on a daily basis is complete without reference to Kriyas Yamsuf. Because if the whole essence of the mitzvah of remembering Yetzias Mitzrayim ultimately is as part of Kriyat Shema, that is to say, Kabbalas Ol Malchus Shamayim, then you do not wish to neglect the point of Yetzias Mitzrayim, namely Kriyas Yamsuf, where the Bnei Yisrael themselves had that awareness and gave expression of Hashem Yimloch Le'olam Vo'ed. And this brings us to a psak of the Mogen Avraham that sent everybody reeling. The Mogen Avraham in Orach Chaim, Simen Samach Zayin, Sifkot and Aleph, says, if a person did not formally mention Yetzias Mitzrayim, but he said Shiras Hayam, he's fulfilled the mitzvah. Now this, we never heard this before.
What?
As if to say, Yetzias Mitzrayim, Zechir Yetzias Mitzrayim. We understood that, remember Yetzias Mitzrayim, and of course, the full mitzvah should be up to and including Kriyas Yamsuf. Along comes the Mogen Avraham, and says if a person, should never be in that situation, but if a person only said Oz Yashir, for whatever reason, that's what he said, he has fulfilled the mitzvah of Zechir Yetzias Mitzrayim. Vatehom kol ha'ir. The world is in an uproar. The Chasam Sofer, in his tshuvos, can't get over this. How can it be The Torah says you have to remember Yetzias Mitzrayim. It's true, Kriyas Yamsuf happened apropos of Yetzias Mitzrayim. By implication, it was at the time post Yetzias Mitzrayim. But there is no reference to Yetzias Mitzrayim. It's only Az Yashir, only quote unquote. Nachasam Sofer, he can't come to terms with this Magen Avraham. And Rabbi Kiva Eger sides with Chasam Sofer. He quotes him. Chasam Sofer was his son-in-law. That's not the reason why he sided with him. If you see that true, that's not a given at all. But on this occasion, in the Hagos of his notes to the Shulchan Aruch, Hiksha Chatani Hagon Rabbi Moshe Sofer, how can it be? Says Rav Soloveitchik, I understand the Magen Avraham. Because what the Magen Avraham is saying is, if you understand what the point of remembering it is Mitzrayim every day, namely, ultimately, as Kabbalah Sol Malchus Shamayim, so the anchor of the mitzvah, you well fulfill the mitzvah with the Shiras Hayam, leading up to Hashem Yimnoch Lo'olam Voed. That's what it's all about, even if you did not formally mention the leaving of Mitzrayim. Ad Kedei Kach. And so, it turns out that Shiras Hayam emerges as with an entirely new dimension. It is a build-up to nothing less than Kabbalas Ol Malchus Shamayim. with the expression Hashem Yimloch Le'olam Voed. What's very interesting is one of the primary mitzvahs that we find within Kriyat Shema is the mitzvah of Talmud Torah. Twice, actually. There's four or five potential sources for the mitzvah of Talmud Torah, but two of them are in Kriyat Shema. Vishinantam levanecha v'dibarta bam, it's Talmud Torah, v'limadatem esamis v'necha v'daber bam, it's Talmud Torah. It's within the parsha of Kriyat Shema. And I think this brings out for us an entirely new dimension of Talmud Torah. Learning Torah, as we know, it's about finding out what HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants from us. That itself is an act of Kabbalah Sol Malchus Shamayim. And therefore, it features within the parsha of Kriyat Shema, which is about Kabbalah Sol Malchus Shamayim. It means accept HaKadosh Baruch Hu as our King and find out what He wants from us. How does He want us to live our lives? That's Talmud Torah. And because Talmud Torah is one of the key mitzvahs of Kabbalah Sol Malchus Shamayim, perhaps, we suggest, this may be part, at least, of why it is that when we get in Psukei Dezimra to the Pasuk of Hashem Yimnoch Le'olam Voed, we say it twice, and then we say a Targum. Because that's the way you learn. Shnayim Mekavecha Targum. In other words, we wish to translate the culmination of the Shira Hashem Yimloch Le'olam Voed into Talmud Torah terminology, because the mitzvah of Talmud Torah is the way that we fulfill the mitzvah of Kabbalah Sol Malchus Shamayim, and that we haven't finished the Shira yet. There's still a pasuk to go, but this is the point where it talks about Hashem Yimloch Le'olam Voed. This is the point where we wish to express that within the framework of Talmud Torah. So we say it twice, and then the Targum Shnayim Mekavecha Targum, and then we finish the Shira with pasuk Yotes. We'll leave it over there.
Sure.